This is an I Am Listening exclusive podcast.
I was in a long-term relationship that was a nightmare. I've had a couple of shitty relationships that were... One was okay, and now I'm sort of single and I'm okay with it. Yeah. If the right guy comes along, then fine. If not, screw him. I've always got my dog to rely on for cuddles.
You are listening to the Don't Be a Stranger podcast. On each episode, I'll be travelling across the UK to interview members of the general public anonymously on various topics that crop up in all of our lives. Psychological studies have even suggested that when in conversation with a stranger, they can actually reveal more information than to someone in their own social circle. So whilst I traipse across the UK in locations such as parks, cafes, seasides and high streets, you can sit back, relax and listen to the tales and perspectives of the members of our general public. Today's episode will explore dating. Regardless of your relationship status, it's a topic which crops up in all of our lives, whether it be in TV and film or conversations with friends or family, or even what appears on your social media feed. Dating is constantly evolving and we live in a society where face-to-face interactions are no longer the only way to obtain a romantic relationship. This episode will explore how members of the public experience dating in the modern day and whether you really can find true love online. It's now time to speak to my first guest about dating. Here's a lovely man and woman that I bumped into in the lanes in Brighton. I've assumed that you're a couple. I'm wrong. I'm very wrong. I started to pick that up and then I was thinking, I'm wrong here. I'm very wrong here.
We're a couple in that we co-parent a dog.
Yeah, we co-parent
a dog.
So yeah.
We are co-parents.
Co-parents! I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, Brighton. Yeah, you know.
So I'll start with you if that's all right. Are you currently in a relationship or are you a single Pringle and ready to mingle?
I'm single dingle and so desperate to mingle, it's untrue. What's that new term? I'm inoculated, vaccinated, can't wait to get penetrated.
I haven't heard that before.
Maybe that's a Twitter gay thing, I don't know.
Oh, I love it. Is that because you want to be single? Is it just you haven't found the right person?
I was in a long-term relationship that was a nightmare. I've had a couple of shitty relationships that were... One was okay, and now I'm sort of single and I'm okay with it. Yeah. If the right guy comes along, then fine. If not, screw him. I've always got my dog to rely on for cuddles.
As a poor parent, I love that.
As a poor parent, yeah.
Do you believe in soulmates?
Yeah, but I don't think that there's just one for every person. I think you can have more than one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what about, like, this is a bit of a cliche, but love at first sight?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Especially, and lust at first sight, really more so. But yeah, you can fall in love with someone, like, in the blink of an eye. You can easily fall out of love with that person again, though, if you're not careful.
What do you mean by if you're not careful?
Well, it takes more than just good sex and, like, seeing someone. You can fall in love really, really quickly and really easily, but if there's nothing else to base a relationship on, you can fall out of love with that person again.
This is a bit of a weird one. I don't know if this is something that I've got in my head or I've just heard from my friendship circle. It's a general thing. Like, getting into relationships at a young age. So I've heard some people say, don't get into a relationship in your 20s or anything like that. What's your opinion on relationships at a young age?
They might not last, but they could be amazing. I think it's different for everyone, right? I think as long as you don't expect too much from any situation that you're in. Go in with a positive outlook if you can. Be optimistic, but just don't expect too much from anyone or anything, and always have a way to rely on yourself.
See, I think like being in a relationship should be like an add-on rather than you like relying on that person. Like, you can be by yourself and it's just like an add-on.
Absolutely. Codependency is not a good thing. You need to be happy with yourself and then the other person should be happy with that. And you should also, this is something I've learned from my own past errors, so many of them, is that whatever you do, don't let your friends go. because yeah. they're the ones that keep you sane, and they will always mostly tell you the truth yeah. about whether the person that you're seeing is actually yeah. a bit of a douche or not.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's quite easy when you get into a relationship to, like, some people get the balance wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. Hello, yeah. you are preaching to the perverted. I so have in the past. Yeah. But now I'm all about, like, my sister, my dog, my friends. And if the right person comes along, then great. But they'll have to fit in with my life, yeah. You know, and take me as I am.
Do you think you can find true love, inverting commas, on a dating app? Or how have they worked for you?
I have used dating apps. I'm on Grindr at the moment. And it's great for chatting to guys. I actually met my most recent ex on Grindr. He pinged at me. Yeah, that was the start of a pingdemic and a half. So I met him through that, and we were together for a year. And yeah, I really care about him. We're actually good friends still. But yeah, it didn't last. We were only together for a year. But then the pandemic happened, and we were living together at the time. Yeah, no, that was...
Played itself out either way.
Yeah, that's because he was a bit of a child at 31, so...
That's the thing, I've learned age means nothing.
Oh, God, yeah, it really doesn't. Because I'm an absolute twat most of the time. And I'm 46. I know I look a lot...
I was about to say, are you?
I really am. Bless you. I'll pay you that £5 later.
Do you have any dating advice or wise words that you would give your younger self?
Oh, God, don't go out with... sorry, that was a long-term ex that was really abusive. He was really... Oh, God. Yeah, anybody that listens to your podcast now is going to go, I recognise that voice. Oh, I know that ex.
I can take it out. I can take it out. I can bleep it.
He's not wrong. He's not wrong. Yeah, just keep your head and don't lose your friends. Yeah. Don't let your friends slip. Keep a balance.
I absolutely loved this interview and how positive this guy was and his advice was, even though it's clear he's had his ups and downs in dating over the years. So now that I'd worked out that the lady he was with was not his romantic relation and was his fellow co-parent, let's take a look and see what she has to say about her experience of dating. Are you ready to...
Yeah.
Rock and roll. So are you currently in a relationship?
I am. Yes.
So how long have you been together for?
4 and a bit years.
It's a fairly long time. How did you meet?
I bought him off the internet through an app. Yeah, like a sort of ethical Thai bride. Yeah.
Right, okay. So I was about to go on to that. So you believe in them, that they work?
I love them. I do. With the first time I got into a long, long-term relationship, they weren't really much of a thing. And then the first time I sort of found myself single, say, 10 years or so ago, most of my friends had met their partners that way. So, and I'd always known that next time I was single, that would be how I would look, yeah. because I was beyond pretending to like clubbing and going out. I like going out with people I already know. So I always knew that the next place I would look, if I found myself single again, would be through apps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because I used to always just think like it's only for like short-term things, but my mum's here with me and you met my stepdad and you're married now through a dating app, and then you've been together for 4 years. So they do work.
They do work. I think the thing is, the relationships you have might not last, they might end, but in a lot of cases, that's nothing whatsoever to do with the how of how you met them, unless they end towards the 6 weeks because the person's like delusional or a psycho. But like, you know, I think things reach a natural end, and it's not necessarily anything to do with how the relationship came about.
Yeah. Obviously, you've met your partner on there. Were there any dates before that on the app?
Yes. Yeah, there are a few. I generally had a rule with the app, and the only time I didn't, provided I stuck to it, it worked really well. So I went on hardly any dates, relative to the number of people I chatted to.
Yeah.
I would definitely not go on any dates with somebody who said, let's not write to each other, let's just meet in person straight away. Because I just thought, why would, well, that's a waste of a shower and an evening. No. Like, if you're hard of writing, you're going to be hard of talking and possibly hard of touching too. So I don't want to know.
Count me out.
Exactly. So I was very, very selective about all the people who talked to me. I went on very few dates. Yeah. And the criteria for date was not, do I definitely fancy them? But it was, do I know the minimum will happen from this date is we'll be easy and natural friends. Yeah. And that if we were going out for any reason other than a date, like we were on a work course or something, we would just hit it off and you'd be one of the better people that I gel with. So that was the criteria. Yeah. And the one time I broke that rule, because I'd already cancelled on this guy twice and I felt compelled to see it through a third time. It was a bad date.
Oh, no. It was that thing, you follow your gut. You knew from those two cancellations.
The thing is, I cancelled twice because of work, but then by the time I cancelled, more texts had been exchanged and there had already been multiple red flags in the text that made me think, okay, no. For example, I think he was a business consultant, but he talked more like a kind of crap DJ. And he said that he liked brains as well as boobs.
You're joking.
Like, those are the two... As if that made him, like, an incredibly deep Renaissance man. I mean, it wasn't out of nowhere. He just said, you know, I'm not shallow. I like brains as well as boobs.
Boobs or bum? Brains.
Exactly. But it was just like a man saying, oh, I like blondes. I like blondes as well as brunettes. I'm very diverse. Yeah, so... it was bad. It was bad. And he kept pointedly using my name at the end of every sentence on the date. Yeah. So let's pretend my name is Emma. So you see, Emma, what I think Emma is. And using cliche off The Apprentice, like, I shoot from the hip, I say what I think. It was just like,
oh no,
somebody had programmed him and he was a wind-up toy of a man on a date.
One of the things you touched on was red flags. Yeah. I think some people try to ignore the red flag. How do you know when to listen to them?
Well, so for me, 101 is misogyny. And that plays out not in obvious ways, but in all kinds of ways. Like, there's a kind of lower grade version of misogyny, which an American writer called femiphobia.
Right.
Which is where they're not kind of actively hating on women, but they're very dismissive and kind of sneery about stuff that they perceive as girly, because they've got, like, issues with their own feminine side and had to go... homophobia, closely related, because generally if they're nervous about men sleeping with other men, because it's, like, sissy, then they've also got issues with women. So, low-level racism. If they don't have generous feelings towards the world as a whole, not least the 51% of it that we are, then they're probably, I'm not going to get on well with them. So that's probably the number one. Do they not have any female friends? When you ask them to name the things that they read, watch and listen to, is there not a single woman or even like gay man or black person in there? That's to me, that's like the big picture of probably not going to get on.
Yeah.
And so we won't get to find out if we fancy each other, because you're just not.
Don't butter my crumpet.
Yeah.
Do you believe in, it's a bit of a cliche, but love at first sight?
No, I believe in fucking hell, wow at first sight. No, I don't believe in love. I believe that, like, you might fall in love with a person who you go wow at first sight, and then kind of retroactively go, oh, it's love at first sight. Yeah. But as he said, it doesn't take you very far, because then if you believe in that sort of magical, mystical love, then it means as soon as in a relationship you hit a rock and it's not magical, mystical, and you've got to take bins out and have arguments about childcare, then you're like, oh, maybe it's not magical, mystical anymore. Yeah. I guess it's not love. So no, I think it's quite, at best it's harmless rubbish, and at worst it's quite dangerous for the longevity of relationships if you believe that love is magic rather than an action and a verb that you do every day.
Are there any secrets to maintaining a long and stable relationship that you found? Because obviously it's not always magical.
I think I try to apologise a lot and I try to be grateful a lot. Because I think everyone walks around going, I'm not an arsehole, the other person is an arsehole. I think you have to assume that you're going to be an arsehole accidentally a lot. And so sometimes instead of waiting until you've got conclusive proof that you're an arsehole, you should apologise in case you were an arsehole. Yeah. You know, you should be like, by the way, this morning, I might have been an accidental arsehole. Sorry about that. Rather than waiting for somebody to actually point it out to you. Yeah. And if you haven't, then it's just a bonus. You've just been nice. And the other thing is just try and say thank you for stuff. Because people are always showing you, like, hopefully, if you're with someone nice, kind of little acts of kindness all day. And I think it's nice on both sides to say thank you a lot, to just recognise that that person is still choosing to be with you. They're choosing to forgive you for the fact you're often an arsehole just because you're human, and they're choosing to do nice things for you. So probably that.
Last thing, any advice that you would give your younger self in terms of dating, or you wish you'd known sooner?
Don't be a professional virgin because you've absorbed some idea that you have to sort of save up all of your sexual energy for the correct situation and the correct person. Just sort of embrace having things be just meh and crap a bit more. Embrace more different types of encounter.
What an iconic friendship duo they are. Whether you're in a relationship or not, I feel like they've covered so many bases there just in a very short interview. Let's get to our next stranger. This interview has also taken place in Brighton. I interrupted this man eating his lunch on a bench. So let's see what he has to say about his experience of dating in the modern day. So this one's about modern day dating. So are you currently in a relationship?
I am. I'm happily married.
Happily married? Oh my God. How long have you been together?
Just over 1 year now. So 1 year, 6 months, I think it is. Yeah.
Okay. So how did you meet your wife?
So it's a weird story, actually. I was visiting Munich with a friend, and I was just walking around on my own, and a girl just asked me how to get to a certain place, a square. And I didn't know where that place was, so I was but I saw her and I thought, oh, she's really cute. But we said bye and stuff, and then she walked away. And then I Googled it.
Never see her again.
Exactly. Yeah. I was like, oh, well, that was a missed chance. And then I Googled it on Google Maps, and I actually know where that place is. I've just come from there. So I then thought, oh, wouldn't it be cool if I saw her again? Yeah. And then I could be like, oh, I know where that place is. And I did. And I was just walking around and I just saw her again. And I said, oh, are you that girl I just saw? Yeah. She was like, oh, yeah, I am, yeah. And then I said, do you want to walk together to that place? And then, we walked there and got a beer, and that was it, really.
Oh, and the rest was history.
Yeah. So she was changing planes, and that's why she was in Munich. So she was just visiting for that day as well. So it was just complete chance that we both happened to be there the same day, and she just asked me. So
it feels like that was meant to be. What the hell? So it kind of leads on to the next thing. Do you believe in soulmates?
Yeah, to be honest, I would say that I didn't before that.
I feel like with that story, how can you not?
I think I wouldn't want to be with anyone else. But before that, I was obviously on the whole sort of online dating scene, Tinder and stuff. And yeah, I didn't really have much hope at that point. But yeah, I was quite glad to find someone that was really nice. And she turned out to be really suitable as well, really on the same wavelength and stuff. So yeah,
it just seems like such a right place, right time moment. That you don't really hear stories like that very often.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually quite embarrassed about telling the story, because every time I tell it, people are always like, wow, that's so amazing, it should be a film. But I just find it really cringy.
Hey, stop, it's my life.
Yeah. But yeah, it's quite unique.
You did sort of dabble on dating apps. Obviously, you didn't meet your wife through a dating app, but you have used them. Do you think you can find true love from a dating app?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I mean, obviously the good thing about, dating apps is they have algorithms, so they figure out who you're most suited to. And I mean, when I was on there, I did find some nice people, but I think a lot of the time when people are on Tinder, they're maybe not looking for often not looking for a long-term relationship, so that kind of ruins it a little bit. But
was that about 50% of the people?
Yeah, if not more. But I do know, I've got good friends who are both met on Tinder, and they've been together for years. Yeah. So yeah, it's definitely a way of finding a soulmate.
This is just the last thing. Do you have any dating advice that you just wish you'd known sooner?
I would say that when I was 18 or maybe even younger, I probably didn't really associate much with women. I know that sounds cringy, but
No, it's a very normal thing that no one talks about, and it's good that you can admit that.
I went to uni and did physics at uni, so I was just surrounded by men, because sadly it's a very male oriented subject.
Sorry, just to add, physics at uni, wow, that's amazing, but carry on.
Thanks. And then about probably 19, 20 when I sort of met like my girlfriend at uni, I started to realize, like, oh shit, like girls are exactly the same as men, really. Like they have all the same thought processes. And so just like, you don't need to treat them like a puzzle almost.
Yeah.
Like that's what I think a lot of guys do. And like, as if it's some like trick to like get a woman. Like, no, it's just like, just treat women with respect. And as if you were like, as if they were like your friend or something, like, you know. Just treat them like a human.
Yeah. On, like, we know, I think people think we're so confusing, and it's like we're actually not. Yeah, it's like, just
and there's the whole like stigma of like, oh, like you'll never understand a woman. Honestly, men are far more difficult to understand.
I can completely back that. Yeah, but obviously I'm biased.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, well, all humans are hard to understand, and deep down we're all the same. Really, we all have the same instincts and same feelings, and so yeah, that would be the advice.
I know this guy said that he finds it really awkward and cringe telling people about how he met his wife. But can we just take a second to appreciate what a cool love story that was? I also forgot to add at the start of that interview that when I went up to this stranger on his bench eating his lunch, he said to me that he's normally feels very awkward talking to people. But that was probably one of the most open and honest interviews that I've had yet. Let's get to our next stranger on today's episode about dating. This honestly sounds made up, but I bumped into a duo in Oxford and they had just performed a street performance on the Hurdy-Gurdy and the Spoons. So once they'd finished their performance, I caught up with them to find out how their experience of dating in the modern day has been. Are you currently in a relationship?
No.
No? Is that because you just haven't found the right person yet? Or is it because you just don't want to be and you're completely happy on your own?
No to both of those. My wife threw me out 3 months ago. Yeah.
God, that's full on, isn't it?
Yes, it is rather, yeah.
Yeah.
We've got three children, right. 10, 7 and 5.
Yeah.
So I was trying to save it, but she kind of made her mind up.
Yeah.
And threw me out.
But I partly think with that is like, someone's meant to be in your life, there will be, and I feel that you've been sent down another path now, and you're in now in the dating scene path, because I'm guessing you had a wife, you've had kids, you've been in quite a stable, settled relationship for a long period of time, and now you're going down a new path of life in the dating scene. How are you finding that?
Well, I don't honestly think I'm ready for a proper long-term relationship yet. So originally I was just looking for like friends with benefits and things like that, no strings attached. But people had told me that Tinder is all about no strings attached, and people just wanting to have a quick, you know, fun evening or night, whatever. But it's not the case at all. Everyone wants a relationship. They want their Mr. Right, and they all have too many conditions. I want this, I want that, I want that as well. And if you're vaccinated, then don't even contact me. Things
really, I haven't been on dating apps in a while. Is that what's going on there now?
Oh yes, it is. Yeah. Oh, it is. So it's. I mean, years ago, when I mean, I've never really had much trouble having a girlfriend or getting married and things like that. But there have been like occasional glitches, I suppose, like a period of 6 months when I didn't have anyone close to me.
Yeah.
And I went before smartphones, I went on something called match.com.
Yeah.
And that was a completely soul destroying experience, because normally you get like maybe an 82% match with somebody and they go, oh, wow, you've made an 82% match. That's amazing. Then I found I actually had a 99% match with somebody.
That's good for match.com.
Well, absolutely. I was wow. And I looked at her, she looked really pretty, and I wrote to her and I said, hey, you know, we've made a 99% match. That's pretty cool. Maybe we should meet up for a coffee or something. She wrote back to say, I'm sorry, I only date guys in Oxford.
You're kidding.
No, I live in Reading.
Oh,
and it's like a half hour drive. I could have done that. I've got a car.
That's the thing, I get that you all have standards as an individual, but then it's how high do you set those standards? And that is probably the highest I've ever heard, to be honest.
Well, yeah, it doesn't really work like that. You know, we were talking earlier on with my friend here about the look of love. I was talking about somebody I was in love with who I'd seen across a crowded room.
Right.
And I can remember what she was wearing when I saw her for the first time. She can remember what I was wearing when I first saw her.
Yeah.
And that brought me on to a theory that I have about dating and all that. So if you like, for example, you meet somebody across a crowded room or just in the street or in a bar or something, you see them for the first time and go, oh, wow. And they see you as well. You've basically got three chances.
Right.
The first one is that coincidental meeting where you just see them. The second one, you don't do anything about it. You can't get their number or make any contact because they're just over there. hopefully you'll get a second meeting, which is a coincidence meeting. Yeah. So you're walking down the road or in a bar. I remember you. Yeah. I saw you that time, didn't I? Yeah. And then you have a conversation, you chit and chat and everything. By the end of that second, this is my advice to anyone, really. By the end of that second meeting, you should have arranged the third meeting.
Right.
So you don't say like, well, I'll see you around. You say, well, I'll see you. How about we go out on Tuesday then? So on that Tuesday, you go out with the arranged meeting. If by the end of that arranged meeting, you're not kissing, you're not in cuddles or anything like that, then you run the very real risk of becoming friends.
Yeah.
And once you're friends, it's harder to get over that intimacy barrier. That's what I think.
How have you managed to stay so positive after everything that's happened? It's quite like inspirational.
Well, I've always been quite positive.
Yeah.
You know, and well, to be honest, when I was a little boy, my parents went to parents' evening and came home and said, oh, you know, you need to work harder and all that. But the teacher said, basically, don't worry about it. You'll always be fine.
Yeah.
And I always know everything's going to be OK. Right person, wrong time is very interesting because my wife, who's now going to be my future ex-wife, we had been going to the same places for like the 5 or 7 years before we met, and I never saw her because it wasn't the right time. Yeah. It wasn't the right time to meet
That's
her.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is quite crazy. So it's all very, yeah, it's all very weird that it's gone wrong, and yeah, I've had to move back to my mum's. But I'm in the process of like rediscovering myself because
exactly, it sends you down a completely other path that you never thought you'd go on, but now you're on it, and it's pretty cool.
Well, exactly, because I think you need to be dynamic and attractive.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're moping about being feeling sorry for yourself, no one's going to fancy you.
Yeah.
You know, they'll just look at you, go like, oh God, that's a sad person.
It's the most unattractive thing, isn't it?
Exactly.
For me personally.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So if you can do your thing, you know, my thing is playing the hurdy-gurdy and going busking and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And for example, I play in a band. I had a gig on the 30th of August with my band, and basically they all pulled out.
Right.
And there's like six of them.
Yeah.
And one by one they pulled out, and I was going like, oh, you know, guys, you can we can do a duo, we can do a trio. And by the end, by like the night before, they'd all pulled out.
Oh my God.
And I thought, hang on a minute, I can remember who I am. I play the hurdy-gurdy, I play the accordion, I play the guitar, yeah, I play other things, I can sing.
That's pretty much a whole band in itself, I'd say.
Well, exactly. And I can tell stories.
Yeah.
So I did the show on my own. And I was dynamic.
Hats off to you for doing that.
Yeah. Thank you.
It takes a strong person to do that.
Yeah, and I was dynamic and attractive, and I got the girl at the end.
Yeah.
You know.
Wow. Last thing, sorry, I've kept you for so long. I feel like you want to go and do your music. But last thing is, if you could give any advice to your younger self, or just advice that you wish you'd known sooner, what would it be?
Probably that thing about the three strikes that I mentioned, yeah, about the three meetings and not hiding away and not being shy, being
put yourself out there a bit,
and really, really go for the people that you know. You can see it in their eyes.
Yeah.
You know you're going to get reciprocation. There's no point fancying somebody like unattainable, really, who's not interested. But you know, you can feel it when someone's interested, and body language is a good indicator.
Yeah.
So I've been successful occasionally, you know, with people because I watch their body language.
Yeah.
You know, head on the side, going like,
yeah,
talking to you with their head cocked to one side.
Yeah.
You know, that's a real, and mirroring and all that.
Yeah.
But this stuff about playing with their hair, that's not true. I don't believe that's true. It's the mirroring and the head cocked to one,
yeah,
side, because they're comfortable in your presence.
Well, yeah, it's funny you said that, because I studied psychology for A-level, and that's right, we did relationships, and that actually is proven in, well, not proven, but there's like studies to suggest that that is true in psychology. So it's funny that you said that.
Absolutely. So watch the body language.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think today's episode goes to show that a stranger can actually reveal quite a lot of information. And if you've got this far, then I'm guessing you like the topic of dating, and you'll be pleased to know that there is a part two coming your way very soon. To see more content and advice from the strangers that I meet along the way, make sure to follow Don't Be a Stranger podcast on Instagram and TikTok, and check out our website, don'tbeastranger.co.uk. Thank you all so much for listening, and I'll catch you on next week's episode.
This has been an I Am Listening original podcast. For more information, head over to our website at im-listening.co.uk.